eat pork and it'll make you sick. But I've never known anybody to get sick on kid meat.
This fish process I was mentioning just a moment ago, normally people either broil or bake their fish. And with this barbecue container that I have fixed here, I call it smoking fish, more or less. You got a process you go through there. You people that like fish might like to try it. The way I do it, you do not scale the fish. You split them in half and lay scale down on the top of the grill and let your smoke and heat come up. And I like hot sauce on mine, or you can baste them in butter. And taking those, if you normally eat one slab of fried fish, you'll eat two whole fish fixed this way, and it doesn't bother you at all. You don't have any grease at all in it.
Yeah, there's no very grease.
Good.
Yeah. Well, along with barbecue, I guess the other most common way of cooking food for groups of people is the fish fries.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you all do that?
Yes.
We all do that.
Yes.
Yeah. We have one of those about once a week now.
Well, of course, I don't know about you folks, but I know that Martha has the advantage of having her own pond just out the side of her house there with her own fresh supply of fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
we all do.
You do too? Everybody
yes.
does?
Yes.
I do too.
That's my relaxation of fishing.
I don't
up and go to the pond first thing of the morning, and then there by daylight sometimes.
I don't have my own pond. I have several friends in the surrounding area where I live, and they are nice enough to allow me to fish in these ponds. When I have time to go fishing, I have one very good friend that lets me go fishing in his pond, and he has such good pond, and he has his fish trained so well. When we get ready to have a fish fry, have the friends over and have a fish fry, we go ahead and put the grease in the cooker and turn it on and let the grease be getting hot before we get our poles and go to the pond. So he has some very good. We go and catch our fish, come back and clean them, and right through the pot.
What kind of fish do you catch down there?
Mostly what you would know here would be crappie or the panfish, brim, shell cracker, perch, and what have you is what we call them in South Georgia. And then catfish, of course, is a very good fish.
How do you do the fish fries? How do you fix the fish up for that, Ms. Jordan?
Often we're having a fish fry, we cut them up. We scale and wash, clean them real good, salt, and cut them up in pieces because there's too many. You can't give them a whole fish, maybe. But usually we have plenty of fish to have all they want, but we cut them up and fry them.
Then what, you put them in a batter first or something?
Just drop mine in meal.
Uh-huh, cornmeal?
Cornmeal.
Georgia cornmeal.
Right,
this
Georgia
up here is too coarse, and that in it, Georgia is just fine.
It's fine meal, and
yes.
It'll stick. That
it
makes
sticks
brown.
To it. Mm-hmm.
At home, we have a wash pot that's cut off half in two. Then we have a frame that's made with, got a butane burner under it. And we get outside and we do all this outside in the yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whenever you cook them that way, some of us may be scaling and some of us are frying and then some of us making some hush puppies and things to go along with it. And a lot of the farmers do this right whenever they start to drain their ponds. They do it right on the dam. Right,
yes.
On the pond dam.
Carry the cooker
to the pond dam.
This is the cookers they use. There's some different varieties, but they're all pretty much the same. It's like three or four metal legs with a hollow metal container welded on at the top. Various people who have welding tools will make these. And then they'll have a butane or propane burner right down at the bottom of the container. And then you can carry it out to wherever you want to go and just put your oil up there in the top. Get the fire going hot under there, and just fish come right out of the pond and into that.
Some will be cleaning, some will be frying, and some will be cooking. The hush puppies and things will go along.
How do you make the hush puppies? What are those made out of?
I usually use an old-fashioned recipe, which you call for meal, flour, onion, salt, and pepper. And you mix them up to where they will, when you drop them in the batter, it will be rather stiff, but whenever they come out, they will be
puffy.
Little puffies, about this big around and about this long.
Oh, you mix them with water or milk?
Mix them with water.
Water.
Mm-hmm. I put onions and some garlic in mine because we like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's to everybody's taste.
Everybody
put pepper
does.
In it and mm-hmm. th- things like that. Another thing I wanted to tell, in the olden days, they used to have these old wash pots, and that's the way they put wood underneath the wash pot. They'd have bricks underneath the wash pot to raise it up to a certain height, and then they'd poke their wood under there, and then they'd have it full of grease, hog grease. And they dropped the fish in there, and the men would do that.
We keep talking about wash pots. There's one right over there on that that lot where they're making the sausage over there.
Right over there.
That people used to use whenever they would wash their clothes. They would put them in there and boil them. But yet, whenever we talk about that, we would use it. We would wash it out real good and then use it for fish fries and things like
and
that.
Chicken fries and
use
making
the same pot for everything.
Use the same
yes,
pot.
Making sauce,
making hominy and everything.
Oh.
Yes, that was a family pot for everything.
Well, actually, you brought up something there I think we ought to talk a little bit about, and that's this the business of making Brunswick stew.
Yes.
Because most of the barbecues I've been to, they serve that right along with it.
Now,
how do you make Brunswick stew? What is it? Who wants to try their hand at that?
All right, Martha, start, and we'll go around and tell if we forget something.
Usually, you take the, after you kill the pork, you would cut the hams, the shoulders, and the sides off. Then you would take what we call the trimmings in the head and all, and you clean those, and you would grind those up. Then you would add just some beef to go along with it. You would put that in also in a pot. Then put you some corn and tomatoes, whatever you like in there with it, and then season it up, and they call it Brunswick stew.
Uh-huh. It has a kind of soup-like consistency.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Uh-huh.
Now, I do the same thing and boil that all up, and then I put my barbecue, hot barbecue sauce, in that one.
In with it.
In with that, and that gives it all the flavor.
Uh-huh.
That's
have
the
a
way
question.
I do mine. Uh-huh. Put the sauce.
No.
You just boil it.
Boil it. Wash it good and then boil it. It's hog meat, pork, and chicken together, and beef. Now,
we grind it.
We grind it. But you can cook it all together without grinding it first. Just cook it. And then after that, it doesn't have to be ground. You can cut it up in chips like
little
pieces.
You can have your hands real clean and get in there and mash it up.
Oh, that's the only way I do it because you can't do it no other way, I don't think.
Get into it up to your elbows there, and it's really good.
Right. That's right.
Get into it up to your elbows, and then you've got it right.
Corn. Onions.
Mm-hmm.
Garden peas.
If you like it, you don't have to. Whatever you like, just put in there. And then put your barbecue sauce in there. Or if you...
Some people put iced potatoes. Some put macaroni.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the iced potatoes in mine. They always seem to
like
be a little hard. You chip them up in small pieces, but they don't seem to get done for some reason. They are done, but they won't be soft.
Well, the way I do when I put my potatoes in there, I don't know if you do, I boil my potatoes first, and then right before I take up the Brunswick stew, I put my potatoes in there. And that gets that done. And also the onions. I cook my onions and potatoes together. I've got a copy, and you could copy it off. But
it's
that's
with
the ketchup, mustard, and vinegar, and Worcestershire sauce, butter or oleo.
Hot sauce.
And hot sauce. And see, that gives it all.
Yeah. But now, when you do barbecue, do you have to do Brunswick stew right along with it? Is it part of the same meal?
You don't have to, but most everybody
does. Yeah, that's...
Uh-huh.
Usually when you're doing what I call a barbecue, just strictly barbecue, you may just have barbecue, Brunswick stew, coleslaw, or potato salad to go along with it, and
that's
you serve that as a plate to the public, and you don't have all of the extra trimmings and all to go along with it. That is strictly barbecue.
That's just those ingredients.
That is the barbecue supper.
Side dishes at all.
No.
This is the meal that's within itself there, sure.
Uh-huh. Would you make would you serve cornbread with that?
No, sir.
No. Just get some light bread and go to sopping.
Sop it.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
All righty. Let me just, how are we doing for time here? All right. Okay. So we've talked some about the barbecuing. We had a pit out here, I think it was day before yesterday, mm-hmm. and we barbecued. It was a structure made out of concrete blocks. It was up about stacked up about four high. And the thing that we need to keep in mind about barbecuing in this traditional South Georgia style is that you make a separate fire,
That's
get
right.
a bed of coals, put those then inside the pit, and then you put your meat on top. And then also you put a cover over it to reflect the heat back down and keep all that smoke and stuff in there.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good eating, I would think.
It's real good.
It's delicious.
It's one of the
Well, they had
we
samples,
have.
And they were still coming back for more. And the next day, they wanted to know when they were going to have another one.
Did we barbecue here?
Pardon?
Did we barbecue here?
Did
yes.
we? You missed it right
Where
out here?
Where were you?
Hey, I'm a worker. I don't know about all these other things here.
Well, that's one thing I got in on.
We barbecued chicken one day. Definitely.
Yeah.
You missed it.
Oh, well, along
right
with barbecues and...
Right in front of your house there.
Yeah. that's all right. Brunswick stew and fish fries. Let's see, is there any other kind of thing that's pretty typical for food like that? Well,
go ahead.
Mm-mm. Oh, okay. Well, there's not a book. There's several recipes over there in the food booth right behind us here. They're on the wall up over there, and you can copy down what you need. And these ladies will all be over there after a while, and you can talk with them about it. And I can attest, because I've been living down there for the last couple of years, that it's keeps you fit and healthy.
I'm from Texas, but I can always learn something.
Oh, yeah. We can learn from you. We did. We found several good recipes.
Where are you from?
Southwest Georgia.
Yeah.
What about Southwest?
That's where we live.
I'm from Ocilla.
Oh, south of there.
South of Columbus.
North
up
of...
Actually,
I guess I ought to introduce everybody again when we started off. This is Ms. Martha Barrs from over in Irwin County, which is about 50, 60 miles north of Valdosta, which is about 100 miles north of the Florida line. And Ms. Joyner is from over in Mitchell County, which is just south of Albany, Georgia. And Ms. Miller here is from in Worth County, which is just to the east of Albany, Georgia. And Dabney Crosby here is from Mitchell County, which is also just south of Albany. So,
Pelham.
In Pelham.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Dabney's the fire chief over there in Pelham. And
do you make malt at all in South Georgia?
Make what?
Make it chicken malt.
We're not familiar by that name. We make purlieu out of chicken. Might be about the same.
Purlieu is chicken and rice cooked
yeah.
together in a wash pot if
yeah.
you have a crowd.
Is that chicken dumplings you're talking about? Is it a dumpling?
No, I don't think that it was. That was like, I guess, just chicken kind of cooked off the bone, and then you put a lot of soda crackers in it.
Chicken pot pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the German chicken pot pie is what they told me. And you just fix it like you do a chicken pot pie, only instead of making the crust, like the dough for pies or something like that, you use your crackers. You use a layer of your crackers and your meat juice from your chicken, you know, like you make chicken pot pie, your eggs and all, and your little peas. And yes. Well, that's the way they do it.
I tell you,
for
these folks that have just come up and sat down, why don't we go over again this the way you cook a possum? Because
yeah,
I think
that's great.
Okay.
I think we ought to get in. Excuse me,
too.
Dennis. First, we got to kill this possum before we can cook
well,
him. There,
that's
I think
right.
somebody
I,
ought to get in.
All right,
that.
A possum
I
hunt now.
Finding a possum ought to be easy. I see lots of them out on the highway. That's no problem.
let's let Daphne hunt him, and then we'll cook him.
All right.
Okay. Normally the procedure we would go through with there, we would go out, normally the teenage kids there had to have something for entertainment, and possum hunting was one of our great sports. And as part of our hunting back when I was coming up, it's not very prominent now, but we always had what we called a cur dog around in the yard there. Most of us did, and I don't really know what kind of dog that was other than a Heinz 57. But this dog was trained to do everything. He'd run rabbits and tree them in the daytime and squirrels, and he would do possum and coon at night, just whichever time of the day that you needed him, that's what he would get. Anyway, he would take him out and trail these possum down, and and tree them up a persimmon tree. If y'all not familiar with a persimmon tree, it's about high as our dog trap house over there with a fruit on it about this big, and possum were crazy about this. So normally you could go to near a good simmering patch there with your old cur dog, and he'd have you a couple of possum there pretty soon, and you'd take a burlap bag along with you, of course, and an axe. If the tree was too big to climb to get the possum down, you cut the tree down and get the possum. You put the possum in the bag and put him on your back and take him home. You put him in the pen normally there and feed him several days there to get him fattened up and into the right consistency. And of course, then we had to somebody had to butcher that doggone possum, and that was always my job there. And I don't know how these other ladies did theirs, but my job was to kill the possum. And I would always take the axe handle, and I'd real carefully catch the possum by the tail. Of course, you had to be careful when you do that. Take him out in the yard, and I'd slap him upside the head. And the possum has the tendency, his characteristics, he will, what we call, sull. If you tap him kind of hard there, you won't really be hurting, but he will kind of fall over like he's dead there. He thinks you'll think he is, and you go on and leave him alone. But once you got him in that position, you reached over and you got your axe handle and you eased it over on his neck, and you put both feet on that axe handle, you catch a possum by the tail and give a quick jerk and break his neck. So then we turned it over to the ladies.
Now that the hard work's
all
done.
Right.
All right, now you got a possum. What you going to do with it?
We have to skin him.
We would skin the possum, and as we skinned him, we would be very careful not to touch the possum to get him down to the meat. Now, when we get him cleaned and dressed, we would always put him in a pot and boil him. This way, we would tenderize him, and also we would get the wild taste out of him. Okay, I'm going to drop it to you.
All right, now what?
Well, where did you wind up?
She got him skinned
and boiled.
Well, now, did you ever know my daddy always would split the hind leg? There was a little musk in there,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Little white strip. And if you didn't split that and take that out, it was no good.
Uh-huh.
It would be bitter, not mm-hmm. good to eat. Any wild animal had to be done like that, had to get that out. Then uh-huh. we would put them in the pot and boil them. Get them tender, take them up, bake them, put them in the oven with sweet potatoes, yams, whatever you want to call them. Mm. We call them sweet potatoes.
Taters.
With some hot pepper. Mm-hmm. Pour pepper sauce around in there and some hot uh-huh. pepper.
When you bake them, do you bake them with the head on or the head off?
No.
Head off.
Head off.
Tail off.
Don't
tail off.
I don't want anything
feet
coming
off.
Out to me to eat with the head still on.
You cook neither end of an animal at home.
And they're mighty greasy, so you don't need any grease for them.
Got a question back here, yeah.
What does it taste like when you go through all that?
Very good.
Very good.
You're going to have to come
sweet.
To Georgia because we can't tell you the taste.
It's a sweet meat taste. It's between pork and chicken.
Huh.
Don't you think that, Martha?
Yeah.
It is. It's delicious. If I was to give you a piece, you'd swear it was either pork or chicken. You wouldn't know it was possum.
It is very rich food. You have to
yes.
be careful and not eat very much at the time. Might have some problems.
Well, now, are there any other wild animals that you have to go through all that, all those steps to get to cook right?
Yeah, as Daphne was talking about the coon, you go strictly almost by the same process.
Really? To cook a raccoon, you have to boil them and the whole business?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh. What about what do you do for squirrels?
The same thing.
Same thing.
You get a young squirrel, though, about half grown. You don't have to boil it.
No. You can fry them.
Can fry.
Uh-huh.
Fry
them right up.
And
yes.
the rabbits.
And the rabbits.
Well, I don't know. What do you do for deer?
You do deer just like you do a cow. You have to skin
like beef.
It.
No.
Yeah, beef.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
We usually shoot a raccoon. He's a pretty tough animal there. You know, he will, if you're not familiar, the dogs getting back and hunting and gathering up the coons if you're going to have some coon to eat there. The dogs usually treat the coon in weather about like this or colder, and the And the first place that coon will make for that he can get is in a tree out in the water about waist deep somewhere. And, of course, you have to wade out and go through the procedure getting the coon out of the tree. And you got to take a lot of dogs with you coon hunting, because a normal coon, he'll whip four or five dogs in the water and drown about two of them. But we usually shoot the coon out of the tree, seriously, because you don't want to get a hold to them. They'll bite you and tear you up.
Yeah, they will.
Oh, you just missed it. We just had a long discussion of possum cooking.
Yes. Find you a good simmering tree at this time of the year in South Georgia when the simmerings are getting ripe, and you see this gray animal up there. And, of course, we have two gray animals down there, and one's a little bigger than the other one. Don't make a mistake of getting the wrong one, but usually you'll find a possum up the simmering tree, and you can shake him out there and kick him on the side of the head there, and he'll soil over, and you can get him carefully by the tail and put him in a bag or in the trunk of the car somewhere. Take him on home with you.
What about any of you ever cook any turtle?
I've cooked some turtle and soft shell turtle, where we get them out of the ponds and all is real famous down home.
They have also down in South Georgia, they have these turtles that are called gophers, which are a little hard shell. They don't eat them, I don't think, do you?
I've never eaten a gopher.
No gopher.
Yes.
Have you eaten gopher?
You do?
Well.
What's it like?
It is gopher basically is a highland turtle.
Yeah.
Dry.
Tortoise.
We have... incidentally, I have a young fellow working for me down home in the fire department that has moved up about a year ago from extreme northwest Florida down in the sand area there, and he's just about cleaned out the gophers in South Georgia since he's been up working with me in the past year.
Down in Florida, they call those cooters. And they get to be quite large. They live in holes down in the ground, in the soft ground they dig. And they come from the little kind of box turtles you may have seen on up to, nearly as big as that pack over there. I've seen some out by the side of the road. So we had a question down here. Yes, sir. Mr. Crosby, yes.
What kind of rifle do you use for crossing money? .22? Yes. Basically a .22 rifle with a short range light load cartridge there. That's real good. And back when we shot the coons out, you didn't waste your ammunition, because you probably got one box of cartridges every 6 months. You made your shots count, and you always shot your coon in the head, where you wouldn't mess up the other part of the meat. You know, if you couldn't hit a coon in the head with a .22 rifle at night by a flashlight, they wouldn't let you shoot coons.
Well, we started the discussion this morning by talking about barbecue, and then we went through various kinds of fish fries and making Brunswick stew, and the last little bit here we've been talking about preparing wild game. And these are all kinds of food and such that are typical to South Georgia, things that come from the land and also are part of the way of life in the area there. And it's unique to that part of the country. And we have the food booths back here, where some of the ways of preparing vegetables and canning and so forth are going on back there for demonstration. And over here we have where a homemade smoked sausage, Mr. Fred Bentley from down in Mitchell County is making that over there. So you want to be sure to see some of these things while you're in this area today. Dabney, you want to?
We mentioned some time ago, we mentioned the gopher, the turtle, the preparation of the turtle. We never did eat those very much, but you ladies have cooked turtle.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. This is a very dangerous amphibious type animal. Yeah, animal. He had a very big head on him, like your fist there, and he had his mouth come to a point. It was very sharp, and The old saying always went there, if you ever let a snapping turtle bite you there, you wouldn't turn loose till it thundered. So you waited till just before it was coming up a rain there, maybe a thundercloud, before you went turtle hunting. The way we caught these turtles, we would take a stick with us about the size of a broom handle. We would agitate this turtle until he snapped, and when he hung onto that stick, we'd drag him to the house. And then we would proceed to pull him out, pull his neck way out and chop it off with an axe, and we would go through the cleaning and therefore the cooking procedure. Now, this turtle was a very tough mongrel animal, whatever we're saying here. reptile.
Reptile, yeah.
Okay, of course you couldn't eat the head. You had to throw it away somewhere. And we had various dogs and had chickens at that time running around outside the yard, in the chicken yard and what have you. You had to be very careful. After having cut the heads off of these snapping turtles, we called them loggerhead turtles, they would, I know one, at one time there, and I never was allowed to do it anymore, we cut a head off of one of these snapping turtles and in the backyard there near the barnyard, and we threw the head out in the edge of the field in the cotton patch. 3 days later, now this is serious, this really happens. 3 days later, the old hen and biddies were out there scratching around, and the hen just went wild, screaming and carrying on, and went out and see what was wrong with her, and this turtle head had her by the leg and been cut off from the turtle for 3 days. And seriously, they will do that.
Definitely. I'd like to say, too, that a turtle has several different tastes of meat. In fact, you may take one bite, it may taste like turtle. You take another bite, it may taste like fish. The next bite might taste like pork, and the next one may taste like beef.
Very much so.
You and get chicken.
They all do.
That's right.
Now, some of you ladies might want to know how to prepare that, and I'll tell you how I do, and the other ladies may do the same way. Anyway, I do boil this meat, and then I take it out of the boiling water, which I have added a little salt, and then I take it out of there. I flour it and brown it, and then lay it over in my pressure cooker, and I make a brown gravy and put over it, and it's similar to roasting gravy whenever I get through with it. And the reason I do this is sometimes you get some of the larger ones and they are a little tough, so I put them in my pressure cooker for a few minutes.
Well, now one person I had interviewed down in South Georgia about cooking turtle, they said what you do is you take the meat and the shell and you put them in a pressure cooker and you cook it for 2 days and you take it out and you throw away the meat and eat the shell.
Martha, too, we make a hash out of that.
We did. We always made like a beef stew or hash.
That's right.
With your onions and
potatoes
and all in it.
Hot sauce, a little hot pepper, and cook that and let it simmer for about an hour low. And that is some good eating.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Well, it's
yes.
How do you make your own hot sauce?
Yes.
How do you do it?
Martha
does. Go ahead.
Martha, I'm gonna let you tell that one.
To make what we call a hot sauce at home, I usually add me a little bit of ketchup, a little bit of Tabasco sauce, and then a little salt and pepper. If you like it real hot, then you make it real hot. To add all this, I usually just set mine in a bowl and let everybody sort of season his own hot sauce, because a lot of times you get it hotter than the children particularly like, and I don't add all of that to mine.
But if you have your hot peppers, if you grow hot peppers, just cut them up and then put them in a little vinegar and ketchup and a little mayonnaise if you like that, if you don't. And that will give you, and your little onion, and cook that, and you'll have the same.
Okay.
The real good hot sauce, like I like it for the different meats that we use it on, and I'm a very spicy eating person, and a lot of other people there. And when you know when you got your hot sauce right, when it's 30 degree weather and you're eating your barbecue or what have you with the salts on it, in 30 degree weather you have to wipe up, get up and wipe sweat every now and then. You know your barbecue sauce is right.
Fred Bentley over here one time, he makes a real hot sausage, and I asked him, I said, did anybody ever complain about it being too hot? And he said, well, one time we actually killed a fellow with the sausage. And I said, how'd you do that? And he said, well, this fellow came in one day and said he wanted some really hot sausage. He said, didn't matter how hot it was. So he said, I made him 30 pounds of that, and he says, it's been over a year, and I haven't seen him, so he must be dead. Well, we've been visiting this morning with Martha Bars and Ms. Forrest Joyner and Mrs. Miller and Mr. Crosby. These folks are all from down in South Georgia. We've been talking a lot of typical kinds of foods, both homemade and homegrown and wild, and the ways in which they're prepared. And these folks will be in the area all day. We have two food demonstration tents back over here. We'd like to invite you to visit with them, see the meat smoking demonstration, and go through the log house. And this whole section here, that's sort of the regional America way of life in the Lowland South. And I want to thank these folks for visiting with us this morning, and I think I'll give them all a chance to go back and get a little warm now. So thank
well,
you,
Ms. Squillo.
Enjoyed it.
Good morning. We're going to have some music here at the Blue and White Striped Tent, and it's going to be social music from the state of Georgia. Got two main kinds of music that we're going to present. I hope you enjoy. I'm sure you will. The first is the blues tradition. Later you'll hear some good fiddling, guitar picking, and banjo music, the old-time fiddle band tradition. We're going to start with the blues and the old-time blues, the country blues. And to present that, we've got two of the finest younger blues men in the South of the country blues style. Jimmy Lee Harris from Phoenix City, Alabama, and Columbus, Georgia. They're kind of plays guitar in many of the old traditional ways. He learned from a woman who was a country blues musician. He learned, he was steeped in her style. He plays some of the more modern blues too, plays some pre-blues music, and he can do an extraordinary feat of playing a harmonica without the harmonica. Another younger blues man, both these men are in their 40s, which is young for people who perform vigorously the older forms of the country blues rather than the more modern blues. On the real harmonica, or harp, or French harp as he prefers to call it, we have Neil Patman from the town where I live down in Georgia, Athens, Georgia. Let's make them welcome.
How y'all doing today? On a nice, pretty holiday. Give y'all this song, my Rock Me Mama, all night long. I want you to rock me all night long. I want you to rock me all night long. I want you to rock me like my back ain't got no bone. I want you to rock me all. Oh, yes, you do. Sometimes I wonder what my poor wife and child gonna do. Sun gone down. And my love coming down. Yeah, baby. Sun going down. And my love coming down. Yeah. I want you to hold me till I want no more. Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Come in, go get your rocking chair. When you see me come in, go get your rocking chair. You know I ain't no stranger. I used to live right here. Oh yeah. I want you to rock me, baby, rock me slow. I want you to rock me, baby, rock me slow. I want you to rock me like my bank ain't got no bone. See me coming, I sure will not. Yeah. You see me coming home, I sure will not. Baby, I ain't no stranger. I used to live here. Give y'all just about booking in a dog, walking along by yourself. Well, I'm booking in a dog, darling, all along by myself. And it's sad and it's lonesome when you're all alone by yourself. Yeah. I ain't got nobody. Sit down and talk with me. I ain't got nobody. Call me by my name. I want you to meet me down in the bottom, baby. Bring me my boots and shoe. Just a kiss in the water might rock. Ooh. Ah, ooh. so long, baby. You know I hate to see you go. So long, darling. You know I hate to see you go. I'm gonna let you make up your mind, baby. I believe you're gonna come back home to Jimmy Lee someday. Nobody, nobody. Ain't got nobody. My baby, she gone. She won't be bad no more. Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Lee Harris and Neil Patman. Jimmy Lee will be back in a couple minutes. We're going to let Neil blow a couple of numbers by himself. He's got a real solid rhythm on the harp. You could saw your feet tapping. Now, a lot of people aren't aware that the blues was originally dance music. It wasn't just listening music. It was music that was brought out at country dances, Saturday night dances, house parties, and people used to and still do dance to the blues. And Neil can hold a real steady dance beat on the harp. He knows all kinds of numbers. He knows some that go back before the blues. Maybe he'll give us one or two of those. He knows blues from different periods. And he knows some up-to-date music that his fans keep requesting, like maybe we'll get the Lightning Twist in a minute. But how about starting with one of those old numbers, Neil? Okay, like the Mama Hoopin' Blues.
Okay, I'm finna pull out a number, old time, about 30, 35 years ago. Call her Old Mama Hoopin' the Blue. What you want? Want your mama? Well, you got to call your mama real loud then. What you want? Want a drink of water? Well, you gonna have to hoop a little bit before you get a drink of water. Mama, mama, Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, I'm gonna move it up just a little bit. I got a piece I blow to Disco Twist. It ain't too old, just about a couple of years.
The musicians on this stage will play the music they love and the music that's requested of them by